My name is Sky, NFT survivor turned content creator.
And I'm Aiden, addicted video gamer turned content creator.
And you're listening to Kaizen, the weekly podcast where we talk about ideas, relationships, and the human condition.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to be talking about how to deeply know a person. The reason I'm interested in this is because I recently read a book aptly titled How to Know a Person by David Brooks.
Makes sense.
I know. It's crazy how things work like that. And I've been interested after reading that book about how do we get to know someone? What conversations / activities do you have to have? What determines if someone becomes your friend or not? This is obviously specific to the person. And is there a difference between different activities and conversations and how like much they connect you to the other person?
I guess I'd also add on to this, like you can know someone for months, if not years, but then, you know, I've had conversations where boom, all of a sudden you know them a whole lot better because you ask certain questions.
That's a great example. Actually, I might even start with a perfect story for that as like
I like stories.
A meta example. Yeah. So like as a meta example of how to get to know someone, sometimes
it's not a meta example. That's just it's a good point. She's been watching too much Mark Zuckerberg.
It's gotta be cool. It's
just an example. Okay.
Okay. Well, you've ruined my whole example flow. It's about to be so much less entertaining.
What's
now
it
that
you
talked about it. It's when I remember I was sitting with you at a coffee shop in the Netherlands before we did our summer trip to Indonesia and Singapore. And I said, Sky, we should go through these 22 intimate questions to get to know each other better. And at first you're like, yeah, that sounds really dumb. And I was like,
it's like, why?
Why would we do that? And then I'm like, no, please, let's try it. I've heard from this podcast that
I have the
works
questions,
really
by the
well.
Way, if you want me to read some of them.
Yeah, no, actually do read some of them.
All right, so these are some of the questions. Which historical figure do you find the most intriguing and why? If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be? What is one of your most terrible memories?
Rule of three.
There's like 30.
Yeah, exactly. I've added more since doing the 22 because I did them so many times that I got bored and I was like, I need more. But when I did these with you in the Netherlands, I remember there was a few questions in particular that you answered and I was like, oh. My like mental model of Sky as a 180-pound muscular behemoth was broken, and I was like, "Oh my god,
he's actually 120 pounds."
He's actually he hasn't gone to the gym in 30 years, and he's only 20.
Yeah, but if you do gear, then you don't need to. So
that's a good point. Yeah, so that's just a perfect example of how one of the aspects that I think goes into knowing someone deeply is intense curiosity. Because if you categorize the other person, if you start having a mental model for how they act and you stick rigidly to that, you won't be able to see them when they break out of that. I think that there's a study in the book where David mentions that couples in a longer relationship, they actually tend to see each other less well in some cases than couples that are just been married for a few years. And the reason for that, in theory, is they get this mental model for what the other person is like, and then they stick to it for like decades. And they don't see the other person change when they do because of that.
So what do you recommend? monthly questionnaires. All right, we're sitting down, interview time.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm kidding. I mean,
I feel like that's what you're gonna recommend.
I do feel like I do feel like, I'm not saying you should do that your entire life, but I do think there's
incredible value. Once an hour.
No, okay. I seriously do think there is incredible value in going up to friends that you've known for a while, not just friends, also parents, romantic partners, and going through some of these questions that you can find online by searching up, like, I think you have to search up 36 romantic questions to...
Can't you put them in the description?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I'll put them in the description of the podcast. That'll be perfect. Much more helpful. Yeah, and then you can use those to talk to people and get to know them a lot better than you might think. But I think now I do get to use it, and it works. A more meta thing to do is to just try and not create a rigid view of what the other person is like and stick to that. Right, you can have views for what the other person is like. Otherwise, it'll be very hard to understand. Like some, you know, you have to have some character for them in your head. But if it's too rigid, then you won't be able to see them when they change. And then you won't be able to know them as they truly are. Does that make sense?
Yes. I mean, I've talked about it earlier, but you only see people in certain contexts. So like a friend, for example... You might only see them after work or, you know, when you're hanging out, when they're in that frame of mind. Like, let's have fun. Let's chill. But you don't see them at work. You don't see them talking to their parents. You don't see them at a funeral. You don't see them at, you know, another location. You see them in that country, in that specific context, in that setting. So it's a very, you only see them in that place. They're not on vacation or anything. You get the idea. But
yeah.
You only know really a subsection of someone's personality. So you can keep in mind that there's really so much more.
Yeah, can you tell us more about that? What about context plays into knowing a person?
Well, let's just take it because it's simple. When you first meet someone, like, first impressions are important, of course, but there's so many factors that are going to give you an illusion of what someone's like. Like, I've met people, like actors at acting school where, okay, one day, let's just imagine... For the sake of example, this is the first time I meet them. Okay, I see this person. They're in class. They don't say a word. They just sit in their chair the whole time. They start making some, like, concentrated thinking faces. I can tell they're depressed. I'm like, okay, this person's a Debbie Downer. This person's just they're just a sad person. But then the next day, like, they're super upbeat. You know, they're being a whole personality. They're being – basically what happened was there was something personal which they didn't want to discuss, and they were just, you know, in their head. And if that was the one occurrence of you meeting them, that's your perception of who they are. Or if even if they were behaving in a perfectly normal manner, but, you know, they were just really stressed that day. Their thoughts were elsewhere. It might just not be a good example of what they really are like if they're normally like super, super upbeat. And then in the same case, like me personally, I can sometimes be, as you know from previous podcasts, a completely different person almost. I've been called a chameleon by some people in acting school. Because, you know, sometimes you just, I don't know, you wake up and you're almost a different thing.
Yeah.
There's like this quote, I'll just say this one last thing, from Alice in Wonderland, if you've read the short story. And basically Alice wakes up, you know, at the start, she's sleeping by a tree, daydreaming, wakes up, ends up going down the rabbit hole, I don't know, does a bunch of adventure stuff. And then at one point she's asked the question, Alice, who are you? Or something akin to that question. And she says, you know, I think I knew who I was when I woke up, but I've changed several times since then. So I'm like, yeah.
That is a great quote. And I think a perfect representation of what you just said is literally the last podcast we recorded. I have never seen you so energetic and goofy. Yeah.
That's
in my entire
before.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's because your tests were over and you were like, yes.
Yeah. But they're back. They're back. So.
No. Yep. Well, you've been remarkably energetic even with that. So you're pulling through.
I'm trying.
I really resonate with that because this reminds me of our podcast on identity and how, and also the extended mind, which I'll go through why for each. So for identity, it reminds me of that because your identity changes depending upon the people that are around you, the objects that are in your environment, which remind you of yourself. And that alters how you come across to different people. And then with the extended mind, in that podcast, we talked about how your cognition isn't brain bound, but rather extends itself into the outside world, depending upon how you're moving in space. Like, are you standing up or are you sitting? Is your head up? Are you?
I'd also just give like a small example, like what tools are available to you? Like, you know, hunter gatherers, they thought of a stick as an extension or an axe. Yeah. And even now, like, you think in terms of a phone being almost an extension of your mind. You're like, oh, let me write that down. And then you go to Google Calendar. You're like, it's a part of you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a relationship.
Yeah. You're extending your mind out into the tools around you.
Yeah.
And you do this with...
You go on, yeah.
You do this with your environment. You do this with the tools in your environment. You also do it with the people around you, right? I'd say that, actually, this is a weird way of putting it, but it just came to me as I was talking about this. A podcast like what we're doing right now is a deliberate format of using both of us to come to insights that we wouldn't be able to come to if we were just conversing without the podcast format. And the reason is, like, we've chosen a specific topic. We're talking about it. I've already come to like 3 insights that I didn't realize I would even say during the podcast. And yeah, so it's like a cool way of coming to insights about how to know a person through the podcast format.
I think you just shake their hand and then you meet them and then you know them. I think it's that simple, right?
Yeah. 100%.
I know people.
Well, I'm curious. You talked about the first impression being really important, but also needing to look past that if you really want to know a person. Do you have an example of where a first impression of someone was completely off aside from you?
There was a guy who, when I first met him, he just wasn't super talkative and wasn't really charismatic. And I'm not going to give any concrete examples because I don't want to, you know, I just don't want to, you know, diss him. But then as I knew this person more and more, it turned out that he was super funny, given the right context. Like, if we got into an improv class or something, and my perception totally changed. And I was like, oh, he's actually, you know, given the right tools and the right setting, this person is, you know, one of the funniest people I've ever met. So it's just kind of, it depends on the context.
Yeah. The context completely changes.
Yeah. Like, are you meeting someone cold, or are you in an improv class, or are you, you know, in another scenario where I guess they're more prone to shine?
Yeah. That's a great point. I have my own example. I was walking around BB Lake with someone from my intergroup dialogue class. I was really scared about the interaction beforehand because the activity we were doing was communication across difference. And the way it worked was they purposely put you in a group with one person who is as far away from you in social identity as possible. So I was talking, I got paired with a Nigerian Christian woman. And let me tell you, I was scared before we went in that she was going to be like, this is a white male. He's probably, and like have all this, you know, stereotypes associated and first impression would be terrible. And that's not at all what happened. Like, immediately when I saw them, smiled wide, and I was like, oh, wow, big smile. This is going to be a great interaction already. And I think the reason that the interaction went so well is because we went in with the mindset, no, we're breaking through stereotypes on purpose. Like, that's the whole point of this class, is to be able to see someone for more than just the social identities that they have, for more than just the hobbies they have, the work they do. And I think that's an important aspect of being able to know someone really well, is to be able to look past the easy to see stuff on the outside, like, oh, they're this race, this religion. Of course, that's all a part of them. But if you want to really deeply see someone, you can't just categorize them by the work that they do or the political preference they have. You have to see it all together in an emergent fashion.
I'm lost. I have no idea where to go.
I have a few ideas. Okay. Which were, one of them was, we've talked about first impressions. We've talked about context. We've talked about
questions.
We've talked about questions. One thing that we haven't discussed is what activities/things you want to know about someone to know them deeply, how much time it takes to know someone deeply, and also what is a person. I should elaborate on that last part before I ask those first two questions. When I said that, I meant I see people as perspectives. Every single person is a unique perspective on the world that is a mixture of their genetics, their background, their experiences. And when I'm getting to know someone, I want to know what is that unique perspective that they have on the world. So what that means is I can't ask questions that are like, you know, what happened last Thursday? Because that's just going to give me an answer of like, what happened, right? Mm-hmm. What I care about is not what happened. I care about how they perceived it. So this,
can I say,
is
what you're saying right now reminds me of, I was listening to a social skills coaching podcast before this, and they talked about the types of questions you can ask people and how, oh, what did you do last week? It kind of, you know, restrains and constricts the possible answers into a very defined thing. Or are you feeling tired because of your classes?
Mm-hmm.
It's yes or no. But what you're saying right now, it's a very, coming from a curious place. You want to know more about them. You want to know their perspective. And you're asking a very open-ended question. And I think you're going to describe the possible questions you could ask rather than that. The only thing I wanted to add was that you can keep in mind the possible answers that your question can be answered with. So try and keep it open. And then I think you're going to give some examples of better questions.
Yeah, I am. Actually, no, I was thinking of telling the audience about this and then just being like, no examples for you.
No examples. You'll figure it out.
No, I completely resonate with what you just said. I think there's a few principles for great questions if you want to know someone deeply. And funnily enough, they're the same principles that you would use as a podcast host to get to know someone deeply. I think that's one of the reasons that I've gotten better, by no means perfect at asking questions. I still have a lot to learn, but better is through being a podcast host. So a few of those principles, let's go through them. And I'll try and give a story, a short story for each. One of them is to ask more open-ended questions. So open-ended questions don't have a clear-cut answer. It's a lot of exploration. So a good example would be, how did you find this book, right? That's a very open-ended question because, you know, you could say it's bad. You could say it was good. You could explain a story related to it.
Do you mean, what do you think of the book? Because if you asked me, how did I find this book? I would say, I went on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of the book? That's what I should have said.
What did you think of the book?
What did you think of the book? Whereas if I said something I went like to a closed-ended question. I went to a bookstore and picked it out. Whereas if I said something like, did you like the book? I liked the book.
And, yes, I did.
And then it's like, oh, that's a very leading question, right? You're going to get a very leading answer because of that.
Or how did the book change how you see the world? Or how did the book change how you behave?
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So that's a great example right there. More open-ended questions. And then another principle is ask questions that invite narrative answers. In our culture, we tend to talk in a lot of practical statements rather than stories. You know, have you ever like actually, this is going to sound so mean, Sky, but have you ever like actually listened in at how a lot of people have conversations with each other?
It is immensely entertaining.
It's like, I'll tell you what I've noticed, then you tell me what you've noticed. So I noticed one of the fascinating this is so mean, but one of the fascinating things is like, it's not really a conversation. And the reason I say that is it's more like statements being thrown at the other person without questions that invite like long answers. Like, you know, I'll be sitting at Olin Library at Cornell and I'll be overhearing like conversations next to me. And one person's like, I really like the sandwiches here. And the other person's like, yeah. Yeah. How many prelims do you have next week? And then it's like 4, but I've studied a lot for them. I have a lot of homework. And it just goes like a lot of if there are questions, they're closed-ended, and the statements are usually like they don't invite interesting responses. Like even with the sandwich example, that could have been an interesting conversation if you said something like, I really like this sandwich. It reminds me of the sandwiches that my mom used to make when I was a kid, where she would take this specific type of cheese and melt it in this certain way. And I miss those sandwiches at Cornell. And that could invite like a whole conversation about like nostalgic childhood memories, right? But that's not what was said. It's just, I like this sandwich.
Yes, this is a good sandwich. Yes.
What have you noticed? I'm curious.
I don't like insulting.
I know.
I really don't like it. I guess I'll just say not actually listening. It's more just saying things. No, I don't want to give examples because they'll know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, so, I understand.
Yeah.
So not listening is a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like as if you were telling me this whole thing about how to know someone. And I'm like, oh, bro, I've got exams, by the way. I'm kind of stressed about that. Like I completely didn't listen to a word you said. And then I just interjected with my own topic. And imagine doing that for like 30 or 45 minutes. And this, yeah.
Yeah. So I think you've brought in a very important point, which is we've talked a little bit more about conversations and like how to word questions. And now a major thing that you've mentioned is listening is integral. Because I'm about to say something that will blow your mind. You're going to be so like, whoa. If you don't listen, you can't hear what the other person has to say.
My mind just blew up. I got the pieces, bro. They're everywhere. All across the room, they've scattered.
Yeah. So, like, I think that's a massive part of getting to know someone is being a good active listener.
You have 2 ears and 1 mouth.
Oh, the Seneca quote.
You can listen twice as much. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. You have 2 ears and 1 mouth, so you can listen twice as much as you speak. I love that. That's a good quote.
So clever.
Yeah. So I think active listening is a great one. How have you developed your active listening skills over the last few years?
I feel like acting classes have helped quite a bit. I think it's more of a focus and attention thing. I guess listening is another word for it, but, you know, I found that in earlier conversations in previous years, my brain just kind of got, you know, distracted, thinking about personal problems, thinking about, you know, insecurities, thinking about, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, you know, what's the plan for today? And not even like intentionally not listening, more just kind of my brain kind of lost focus. And I come back, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm trying to pay attention, but I kind of lost track and trying to get back into it. And now, you know, doing, I guess, meditation, some yoga, a lot of focused exercises, really, really trying to be present in the moment in acting classes, especially, that's really helped me, I guess, be here and now, which has, you know, in turn helped me listen to a better degree. And also throughout the conversation, like, I'm now more actively, you know, while you're talking, I'll think about, okay, what did we just talk about at the start of the podcast? What are we talking about? You know, I'm ready to summarize. I'm ready to relate back to earlier ideas. I can't hear you, unfortunately. I think there's been an error.
You got your campfire starting kit ready. Like, you got your fire out. Your summarization fire is so ready.
Embers are burning.
Yeah. So it sounds like acting has been very helpful for active listening and also meditation.
Another huge one, actually, just to say one more thing, has been I've kind of removed my addiction to my smartphone, which was a huge issue. So like, for example, I would be studying in a coffee shop for an hour, and then I go to the bathroom, and then I go onto Instagram, and I look for motivational quotes to keep going, because I'm like, I hate studying, gotta find motivation. And then it's almost like you're looking for, because it's a dopamine hit. Or, you know, you work the whole day and then you watch YouTube, or you work the whole day and like in the train, you're on your phone, or, you know, you're waiting for the bus and then you pull out your phone. And I don't know, I feel like I just got distracted much more easily. And now I just don't do that. Like, I'll just go to the bathroom and actually just go to the bathroom, like not have my phone in there. And I don't know, that's really helped with focus for some reason. Like having, I think almost zero screen time. Not to say, I think my screen time would probably be an hour, but like that's WhatsApp and it's, you know, looking for trains and it's not Instagram or YouTube shorts.
Yeah, if that counts as screen time, then I don't know what to say. I'm looking for the train. Someone comes up to like, what's wrong with you're so addicted. It's like, I'm looking for the train. Yeah. So it sounds like that has helped you become a better active listener because you're not distracted during conversation.
Yeah. I feel like when you're not addicted to your phone, your brain just is more focused.
That makes a lot of sense.
Social media.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one thing for me that has been really helpful is meditating a lot, because meditation is literally training that ability to go from distraction back to attention on the whatever meditation practice you're doing. And also another thing that's been very helpful is trying to intentionally become much less egotistical over, like, since high school. Because the problem is, like, when in high school, when you have more ego, it actually makes it really hard to see other people, to know another person, because your ego gets in the way, right? Like, instead of seeing someone for who they are, you see them as like, oh, what's their grade? And can I try and do better than that at the end of the year to get like the grade award? I'm just using that as an example. So it distracts you from actually getting to see them more. So I think ego is a big one. Another one, I think this one a lot of people will resonate with, is anxiety. You're so, like you were just describing it with tests and other stuff, you're so anxious about stuff in the future. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to study
that's
for this?
Really, I don't know. I just wrote this paper and it's...
This piece and of then, paper. And then... that makes it really difficult to actually see someone in the moment because it's clouding up so much of your attention. And the last one, which we talked a little bit about earlier in the podcast that I think is really pervasive, is generalizing people based off of a category, a label. For example, imagine if you didn't know me And then I came into this podcast and I was like, hi, I'm Aiden. Who are you? And then you're like, oh, you know, I like go to acting school. I'm like, you're an actor. I hate actors. All of them. Every single one. I want them to die. And now I can't see you for anything past being an actor because I've labeled you. And that comes with all this baggage of how I see actors in general.
So basically, don't have these preconceived notions about people is what you're trying to say. Don't put them into boxes. I want to do a thought experiment, okay?
Yes. So,
let's imagine that I, in 1 year's time, am going to rob a bank and I have no friends. I need someone I can trust to help me in this endeavor. And I have the period of 1 year time limit to befriend someone, get to know them, and have them trust me so much that they would, even if it came to this point, they would sacrifice their life for me.
Oh my God.
In this hypothetical scenario where I have to befriend someone, let's say I am a 20, let's say my name's Sky Halfon. Okay, for the sake of illustration, let's say it's
9, a
20-year-old.
One.
What would you do? You meet someone, let's say, at the library. What are the activities that you would do with them? What are the questions you would ask? How frequently would you see them? What would be your overall strategy to get to know them as well as possible and get them basically to really become your friend and your life partner in this endeavor?
Man, can I just say this thought experiment, first of all, is so funny and I love it. Also, this is the most Machiavellian thought experiment I've ever heard. Like, Jesus.
That's the evil guy, right?
This is the guy that was like an expert manipulator sociopath. So like he saw social interactions as very like he knew the psychology of how to get people to do what he wanted, and he also didn't feel empathy for them. So he was just get them to do anything to benefit him and wouldn't care about when they were hurt. So that's kind of reminds me of that, because you want this person to die for you.
Aiden, I'm asking you a question here. I'm desperate. I need the answers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a really great way to uncover like how to know a person. I think if it were me, I would try and see them in a lot of different contexts, like you said about the activities. I'm going to try and take like everything we've talked about early in the podcast and bring it in. So firstly, a lot of different contexts. Right. If we're still in the college context, I'd want to see them in classes. I want to see them on walks outside. I want to see them in the dining hall. I'd want to see them in restaurants outside of the dining hall. I'd want to see them on hikes. I'd want to see them on like breaks where they come to my house in Hamilton and I go to theirs and we go camping, perhaps. I want to see them like in a car, an extended car ride. I want to see them in the city. Like where we go out and we go to like museums or something, or we do like stand up together, just in as many different contexts as possible. That's that one makes thing. Sense. How much time I'd want to see them? I think to make it so that I didn't die of social interaction, if for that goal, I would say you'd want to see them at least 2 to 3 times for extended times each week. 2 being like the minimum, because I think that's the sweet spot that I've hit for a lot. Most of my friends at Cornell that I'm really good friends with, I actually only see once a week. But if you want to get to see someone as like they're literally going to die for you, I think it needs to be 2 to 3 times. And you see them like for a lot each time. What conversations to have. I'd really want to get to know a few things. I want to get to know, first of all, like, you know, obviously, who are they? Where do they live? Like all the basic stuff. But then how do they uniquely see the world different from me? What is their perspective? What do they value differently? I do a lot of value exercises with them, actually. Like I've done that with John Maverick, and it was so enlightening on like who they are as a person, because you have these conversations about, you know, how did they value evolve? What was it like in the past? What is it like now? What would they like it to be in the future? You get to really see them. I would ask them a lot of open-ended narrative questions. I would also, this is an important thing that we didn't talk about as well, is like an important part of getting to know someone is also being able to do nothing with them, like not having every interaction need to be profound. So you'd also be able to have fun small talk, right? And you'd want to have a couple of those moments as well, where you're just together doing an activity, maybe even separate, but in the same room. It doesn't always have to be deep.
That's actually one of my favorite things. It's just chatting shit.
Yeah, exactly. Shit chatting. It's what most people would call hanging out. But yeah, I think that's important as well. And yeah, I think I'll leave it there. I'll let you add anything that add on top of anything I just said.
I'd probably help them out, exchange favors. So assuming you're in the same classes, you know, study with them, give them, you know, a summarization of notes. If you're in the same acting school, what I've done here is, you know, give them the books I've read, you know, insights I've learned about, you know, contacts, you know, give them casting agents, give them people, you know, anything you're in, if you could help them and they help you and there's a mutual exchange, I think that builds a lot of trust. And commitment.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing I want to add before you go any further is that's a great way to build trust. You just have to make sure it doesn't turn into a transactional relationship. Because,
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like imagine how offended would you be if for next week's podcast, before the podcast happened, I was worried you weren't going to show up. So I'd be like, Sky, I'll give you $100 if you show up to the podcast. And you'd just be like,
what?
What? Like what? I don't understand.
Because
it crosses a social norm. It's like we don't have we don't have a monetary business relationship. We have a brother relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? How would you get this person to rob a bank with you?
Well, it depends. How do I get them to rob a bank? I would have to, you know, remove all of their other friends and make me the only source of anything good in their life. They only get compliments from me. All their self-worth comes from me. So I'm an integral piece. I'm thinking out loud.
9-1-1 again.
Probably make something with them, either a project, you know, like this podcast. I think that brings people together if you've both done something creative together. Everything you said about various activities is great. You know, different contexts. I think we've pretty much covered it. And then I would maybe ask them for things they find interesting and then genuinely care. Hey, you have any books? You have any podcasts? And if I actually listen to their input and they feel, you know, important and they feel like, oh, he's actually listening to what I have to say and he actually cares about what I think, then, you know, that would help you bring each other closer together.
That's a great point that you made that I don't think we've talked about yet.
Make them feel valuable.
Yeah, make them feel valuable. And also that the information you consume plays a profound part in who you are, right? It's kind of like the food you eat determines how you feel physically and mentally. The information that you consume also plays a role in how you feel physically and mentally, and it shapes like what you believe. Like if I knew someone watched only Mongolian news networks and that was it, that would be a pretty like big like, oh, that signals a lot about.
We're still talking about Genghis Khan.
I only listened. I only the read Genghis Khan.
Do you remember? I remember.
My great 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 grandfather was Mongol.
All 4 million of them.
All 4 million. Exactly.
That's actually, that doesn't work that way. It's the reverse. I'm dumb. That's not how that works.
Oh, yeah. Wait, it would be the opposite. Reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were the great, you'd have like that many grandchildren. Yeah.
You silly, okay. Silly boy. Yeah. Is there anything else about getting to know someone that we haven't touched upon?
Yes. This one's mind-blowing. Okay?
Ooh.
This one, you have no idea. This one is, it's crazy. It's, you can't get to know someone if you don't walk up to them. And I mean this in the realest sense. You know this from, trying to meet girls, trying to meet women. Yep. You cannot get to know them if you never muster the courage to go up and ask a single question. The same thing with any business relationship, any friendship, every single person you've ever met in your entire life was once a stranger. So you have to meet them. So otherwise nothing changes.
Yeah. That's such a funny but valid point. Like, sometimes it just comes down to talking to the person more. Like, or even talking to them at all.
Just
the first time. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of people. I was part of this crowd when I first came to Cornell that were like actually sort of scared of just going up to random people and talking to them. Because you think for some reason you build this like image in your mind, like that you're going to go up to them. You're going to be like, hi, I'm X. What's your name? And then they're just going to be like, oh, and then they take like a knife out of their pocket and just stab you with it. And it's like, oh, what? Like,
is that a personal anecdote?
Yeah. It is, honestly, because semester at Cornell, I did this activity during the first 2 weeks where I'd go into the dining hall and I'd sit with random people to like get over that fear. It was so scary every time. I'd just sit with like random people and I'd be like, hey, is it okay if I sit with you? And like most of the time they were very amiable, very nice. But I do remember telling you one time where like, I sat down and every single one of the people at the table, there was like eight of them, just in unison, stopped talking. It just went silent. And I was like,
that is.
Yeah. And then I just got up and left because I was like, this is uncomfortable. And that was the funny thing, because that's the worst case scenario. Like nothing worse is going to happen than that. Right. The knife thing was just a joke. If that actually happens,
it's really like almost the worst case.
It really is.
Hood or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. At Cornell, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Like.
But you're alive.
I am alive. I have not been stabbed. Yeah. Well, Sky, do you want to do your summarization campfire?
Yeah, I've got to go. So I'm gonna do my best, but I might get interrupted while I'm summarizing. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, gather around. It's that time of year. It's that time, just before Christmas. Our gift to you, wrapped in a present, a gift of knowledge and information presented to you around a warm fireplace in the internetverse.
With chestnuts.
Metaverse. Internet. We discussed today how to know somebody. Right? Very well. And we discussed a number of techniques and ideas about that. We started with a series of questions, which we're going to put in the podcast description. And, you know, most conversations, I guess we don't really try. And these questions, they make you ask things and they make you think.
Can I just say before you keep summarizing, like, it's so funny to me because like a little bit earlier you're like, I don't want to say anything insulting, right? And then you're just like, why are you saying,
hey, I'm one of us, I don't
most
try
people in most conversations we don't try.
I'm one of you guys. Same here. So these questions, it breaks you out of your patterns and it makes you like, wow, I never asked that question before. I never thought that. Oh, what? Yes. Good. Approve. I approve. Sky's seal of approval. If your s'more is getting warm, you can take it off the stick now and you can eat that. We're going to continue. We then talked about, you know, a hypothetical scenario where you need to get to know someone very well. What are you going to do? And Aiden discussed how you want to meet them in a number of different activities, you know, not just in class. Try a huge range of things, mini golf, vacations, bring them to your house, visit their family, go to the movies, do, you know, there's an infinite number of things to do. You figure it out. Wakeboarding, I don't know. Number of different activities. See them semi-frequently, 2 to 3 times a week, if not more. You know, I talked about exchanging things, exchanging knowledge, exchanging information, exchanging gifts, trust, building something together. You know, what is this relationship? What holds it together? What glue? Make something. And you're like, oh, remember when we did that? Remember when we made that? It's going to make you trust them a lot more. We talked about open-ended questions. So, you know, in some conversations, it kind of feels like you're just talking to a brick wall. You're like, I went to the store. I have exams. I am tired. Okay. It can be like you're not really connecting. So try to actually connect, actually listen. You got 2 ears for a reason. And ask open-ended questions. So, you know, how did the book change you? Instead of, was the book good? Did you like the book? Because that, you know, there's not really much they can say with that. Make it more open-ended. There are other things, but honestly, I think that is what, that's the major substance of the podcast. I'm trying to think if there's, yeah, if there's anything else.
No, I think you did a great job. Yeah, open-ended questions.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about active listening and how important it is. Being able to overcome egotism, anxiety. Yeah. Don't generalize people into categories.
Yeah.
Every person's a perspective. Try to figure out what that perspective is by asking them questions which invite narratives and how they perceive the world rather than just what they perceive. Ask.
Maybe bring like a drill or like a shovel. You got to get to know them deeply, right?
And you my God.
Right?
That's so stupid. No, okay. Actually go up to them. Like, you can't get to know someone if you don't talk to them. And then I think that was it.
Just fake.
Yeah.
Just fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. Yeah. Well, I feel like I've gotten to know you better through this podcast episode. Isn't that nice?
Cool.
This guy's just like, yes. So for the audience, I'll put those questions in below. My action item for you is have a conversation with one of your friends where you go through some of these questions. It might sound weird at first, but I promise you they 99.999% of people will be ecstatic to have that type of intimate conversation. I've done this.
It's very, very insightful.
Yeah. You just literally say, hey, I listened to a podcast with two very silly 20-year-olds that have no idea what they're
doing.
I'm
an old soul. I'm like, inside, yes. I'm like 85.
Exactly. And then could we go through some of these questions together so that we could get to know each other better? I guarantee you they're going to be like, yes. Shut.
A chance to talk about myself. Yes.
Yes. So good. Well, yeah. I hope you have a phenomenal rest of your day. We'll see you on the next podcast. Sky and Aiden out.